comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, and it is the show where you matter. Now, tonight is Open Line Live, and it is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. We will talk about whatever topic you want to talk about, as long as it's within our genre. So, this is an excellent night for you to call in, being Open Line Live. We have much more time available for telephones. You know, when we have a guest, we don't take calls during the first hour because we want to hear from the guest. Well, during Open Line Live, we don't have a guest, and that means that we have more slots open for you. So it's an excellent night. If you've never called us before, you've got a much higher probability of getting through on Open Line Live. And like I said, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about as long as it's within our genre. You know, Halloween is coming up, right? Here in the United States, anyway. It's a big holiday here in the United States. I found from living around the world, it's no big holiday in much of the world. You say Halloween, they say what? But it's a big holiday here in the United States, and there are some other countries that participate in the holiday. We are going to do a special Halloween broadcast. It's Halloween does not fall on a weekday, but it's on the weekend. But we're going to do a special Halloween broadcast. And I thought that this would be a good time for us to implement something that one of our listeners recommended. And that is having a ghost host. Several ghost hosts. As a matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 6 ghost hosts. And the way it works is like a ghost writer, okay? You know what a ghost writer is, right? It's you have someone that writes a book for and in the name of someone else. And they use the other person's basic information, but they do the writing. Well, we'll do ghost hosts. If you've always thought, you know, I wish I could host a show for just one night. If I could do that, I've got some things I'd like to share with people. Well, I can't let you host the show for a whole show. But we'll slice it up in 15-minute segments. And you can host a 15-minute segment, and we'll do 15 minutes of allowing people to call in. And then we'll go to our next ghost host. If you want to be a ghost host, I need to hear from you, and the way you do it is go to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on Contact, click that on the menu, and then select Suggestion. And send me an email and tell me you want to be a ghost host, and be sure you give me your phone number, okay? And I'll call you, and we'll see what we can do about getting you set up to be a ghost host. 15 minutes of the Kevin Smith Show on Halloween night. I'm serious. I'm looking for ghost hosts. And I'll be back right after this.
Thank you.
right. It is open line live tonight, as I said, but and I'll open the telephones in just a moment. I got a few things I want to bring to the table, and then we'll. I won't take long, I promise. I promise. Keep your fingers ready to do the dialing, and we'll open the telephone lines here in just a minute. A few things that I need to cover with you. I'm still getting email from people wondering, you know, a couple of nights ago, the show just had this weird echo in it, if you were watching the show. Now, if you were listening to the show on radio, or on your computer, or your iPod, or your iPhone, or whatever, you didn't hear an echo. Only the people that were watching heard an echo. And they only heard the echo when we activated the camera. And I was saying to folks, well, you know, we had a couple of people that called in and said something about there was an echo. And I said, well, I don't know. There's no echo here in the studio. So, but when we, you know, we capture the video as well as the radio stream. And so when I played back the video, I saw what they were talking about. I heard what they were talking about. Each time we went to camera, there was this echo. And it was pretty severe. But I'm still getting, although I've explained it, I'm still getting some emails from people wondering if that was some sort of black ops attack against us. And the answer to that is no. Now, we do get attacked sometimes. I don't know precisely who's doing it. I've got a good idea, but I don't know precisely who's doing it. But that's not what this was. I had used the camera for something else during the day, and I had changed the settings on the camera in order to use it. And when I put the camera back in the studio on the tripod, one of those settings I forgot to change back, and that's what was causing that. Okay, so it was my fault. It was pilot error. I apologize for that. That is the show where I was talking about this purple frog. Some of you remember that. And I'm getting a few emails about the purple frog. But I got one that said that he had listened to the show twice, that show. He had listened to it twice, and he says, I just don't get the point about the purple frog. Well, look, the point is pretty simple. That species of frog has been around 100 million years. 100 million years. And the scientific experts didn't, quote, discover it until 2003. But the local people knew all about this frog. It was no mystery to them. And my point was, when you hear that something was discovered in such and such a time, that's a little bit preposterous, and it's a little bit arrogant that something's not discovered till one of our approved credentialed scientists says, oh my goodness, look at that. And then we say, well, he discovered it. Well, the local people knew all about it. And, you know, my point was that the experts, the people that we look to as experts, very often are very ignorant because they just don't put any credence in what local people can tell them. After all, the local people don't have those doctor's degrees, right? And so these experts don't listen to them. They talk to each other. So that was the point. The point was that experts are, they sometimes may be right, but we should not consider them correct simply because they have credentials and degrees, and we they are recognized experts. Recognized by whom? Other experts. It's a self-perpetuating industry, the expert industry. And so that was the point of the purple frog. All right, as I said, this is Bring Your Own Topic Night, so we've cleared up those two things, And let me bring a topic and share with you. Actually, this is not my topic. This comes from one of our members. In our members area, one of the things you can do is you can upload, you can post photographs to your own photo gallery. Okay, so in the members area, you have a profile page, and then you have another page that says My Friends, and then you have another page, and that's where, you know, there's photos and links to the people who are your friends in the members area. And then there's one that says My Blog, so you have your own blog page, and then there's one that says My Photos. And you can upload photos. I've uploaded some photos of my family. And I think probably most people upload photos of their families and things like that. But sometimes people upload photos of other things. And I'm going to share one of those with you tonight. One of our members uploaded a photo that he captured off of his screen. And this is on Mars. And he was using, I forget what it's called, but it's kind of like Google Earth, except you can look at the planets. And so anyway, he was looking at Mars, and what he found was this amazing photo, or this amazing shot. Now, what's amazing about it is, on the right side of this picture, you can see one of the appendages of the Mars rover. And it's kind of a silvery color. It's over on the right side. But dead center of this, there is a mud puddle. Actually, it's just kind of a depression in the ground, and it's got very, very clearly, it looks like standing water in it. Now, he uploaded that, and he also uploaded a view that's closer. And when you get up close to it, I mean, this looks like standing water. It looks like a little pool of water in a depression. And, you know, actually, the whole thing looks like the ground is damp, but I can't tell for sure that that's the case. But, you know, this, if I had to say, is this a pool of water or not, I would say, yeah, it certainly appears to be. That looks like a pool of water. And it's on Mars. Now, there are people that would say, well, it's a trick of lighting, and, you know, it's probably not really water, and, yeah, okay, all right. Well, what about early on when the Spirit rover turned the camera around, took pictures of where it had been, and it shot pictures of the ground, and it looked like its tracks had gone through muddy soil. You know, it looked like mud. And the scientists at the reporters at the press conference where they were showing these pictures asked about that. Stephen Squire said, yes, the ground there does look as though it's got a bit more plasticity than we expected, and we're really not sure what that is, but you know, we're going to look into that, and we'll get back to you on it. And they never got back to us on it. It's mud. There is water on Mars. They tell us that, you know, the official story is that the atmosphere on Mars is so thin that there cannot be liquid water. There can be ice, but in the springtime, when the ice begins to melt, it doesn't go through a liquid stage. That's what they tell us. They say it goes straight from ice to vapor, because the atmosphere is so thin. In my ebook, I show you living proof, if you will, photographic proof from NASA that liquid water exists at the surface. Their own evidence shows that what they say doesn't match the facts. Their own photographs show that what they're saying does not match the facts. And in my book called Mars Maximum Mystery, there's a photograph in there that absolutely proves that liquid water exists at the surface of Mars, and it's NASA's own photograph. It's not one of those where you go, well, you know, it could be. I'm not sure. Even NASA admitted that what you're looking at is water. But the official statement is there can be no water, no liquid water at the surface, and yet there is. And this comes from Mike, Mike T. And Mike really did us all a great favor by uploading this photograph, because that very clearly looks like water. And, you know, what's interesting, too, is it's dead center of the photograph, isn't it? That kind of tends to make me think that the scientists running the rover took a look at that and said, what the heck? Look at that! And shot a picture of it. Maybe not. But it certainly was of high interest to them because they put it dead center of the photograph. So, is there liquid water on Mars? I think the answer is pretty clear, and so is the water. The answer is yes. Now, it's BYOT night. That means we will talk about whatever you wish to talk about tonight. If you, we can talk about any of the topics that we talk about here on the show. Maybe you would like to discuss something you heard one of our guests say, or maybe it's a book you've been reading that's within our genre, a documentary that you've watched, a film that you've watched that's within our genre. Whatever it may be, we would like to hear from you. And don't forget now, we're looking for ghost hosts as well. But the way you respond to that is to send me an email. Go to contact, our contact page, and click on suggestion. And just use that to send me an email that says, I want to be a ghost host, and put your telephone number. All right? We'll try to sort it all out. 623-444-5889 is the main number here in the studio. 623-444-5889. If you need to call me toll-free, you can do so in Canada or the USA. The number is 888-223-4599. These telephone numbers are on my website. If you say, ah, he said it too quick, that's not possible. I speak slowly. But he said it too quick, and I didn't get it. Well, you can go to my website. Scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. On the right side of that are the telephone numbers. Also over there is a link for flash messages. Flash messages are for folks that live outside the USA and outside of Canada, because I don't have a toll-free number for them. So we have flash messages for them. If you're in the USA or Canada, please use the telephone, 623-444-5889. The purple frog, I think, is, you know, that story. That's the one where we had the echoes, so you might not have heard all about that. But I'll tell you this, we are, over the weekend, going to try and process that video and get the echo out of it. We'll try. I don't know that it'll be successful, but we'll try. But the purple frog, this is a species that was discovered in western India, way over on the west side of India, in the Ghats province. And that's G-H-A-T-S, Ghats province, right up next to the mountains. This frog lives underground, and it stays underground except for 2 weeks out of the year, just 2 weeks, during monsoon season. It comes up on the surface and out where you can see it 2 weeks out of the year for mating purposes. And then they go back underground. They stay underground. That's where they live their entire lives. Fascinating creature, 100 million years old. Yeah, but we discovered it in 2003. Mm-hmm. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hey. I was kind of thinking about the pollution today, you know, the greenhouse gases and all that stuff, climate warming to say we're having.
Mm-hmm.
What is the possibility that there's been since, 48, 44, somewhere in that area, the 47, the UFOs have increased, like, you know, until now, like Walter Bosley and the Gillian's Ranch, they see them all the time, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
What is the possibility that they are the main cause of the global gases and that? You know, their craft.
Well, look, what you're asking me for is an opinion, so I don't mind giving it, but as long as you understand it's an opinion.
Okay.
My opinion is that there's no chance that UFOs are causing that. First of all, there's very little chance that anybody's causing it, because most of it's fiction. Now, they had this big global warming scare going on, and the main body of scientists on the planet were saying, this is bunk, this is nonsense, the data is wrong, there's no global warming. 2,000, a little over 2,000 scientists, most of them having nothing at all to do with climatology, signed on to the UN report on global warming, and everybody said, oh, that's it, this is settled science. That's what Al Gore said. Well, over 30,000 scientists, most of them having to do with global warming, 9,000 of them with PhDs, signed on to a report that said that's bunk, it's not real. Well, the global warming crowd tried to play that down. And then all hell broke loose when some of the global warming crowd email got out in the public, because that email was between some of the principal scientists behind the global warming report, where they were talking with each other about cooking the data and making it show certain things. And so this blew up in their face, Nobel Prize and all, because it was a fraud. Well, because of the global warming scare, you had all these governments saying, oh, we need to pass this tax on carbon emissions. Rusty, can you hang on through this break?
Yeah.
You hang on. I've got the rest of the answer coming up.
Okay.
We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's BYOT night. Bring your own topic, and Rusty has brought a topic, and a good one. So, Rusty, when the global warming thing blew up in their face, and the whole world knew it was a fraud, everybody knew it. There was no recovery from it. Well, you already had the various governments in motion to pass new taxes, even a global tax for carbon emissions, a way for governments to get more money out of your pocket. That blew up. So now there are new reports out saying CO2 is rising in our the content is rising in our atmosphere rapidly, and by 2037 or something like that, there's going to be so much CO2 that we won't be able to live. It'll suffocate us all. Yeah, okay. Same scientists? You know, they've cried wolf way too much. And it's been shown to be a fraud. Now, if this report is real, then I would suspect that in 2037 or whatever year it is they put on it, they're not doing global warming now. They're just saying it's going to suffocate us. Then I would suspect if it's a real report, you know, if it's good science, which I don't think it is, but if it is, they're going to impose all these taxes. They're going to use that to impose all these taxes. And in 2037, we're all still going to suffocate because they won't do one damn thing to clean up the atmosphere.
Right.
But they will raise taxes. I think this is a recovery program, this whole thing about that CO2 is rising rapidly and we're going to suffocate. I think it's just an attempt at a recovery program from having been exposed as frauds on climate, on global warming. Now, having said that, you know my stand on this. My stand on this is, even if there's no such thing as global warming, and even if there's no such thing as this CO2 rising rapidly and we're all going to suffocate, even if all that's fraud, we're dumping way, way, way too much poison into our atmosphere and water and land. And we will eventually kill ourselves.
Hmm. Well, that's kind of where I was, you know, going with it anyway. But, you know, I was kind of thinking that question along with James Horak talking about his EMVs in front of the sun and coming back and forth from Saturn, and then reports that the moon may be a satellite. I mean, what if the extraterrestrials have control of what certain planets do, possibly even the Earth? Is that a possibility? I mean,
well, you know, and look, on the one hand, is it possible that there is something that's causing our planet to have all these environmental problems? Well, that's a possibility, but it's an absolute certainty that the human race is doing it. You know, we're the ones. Have you heard about settling pool full of toxins over in Hungary where the dam broke and all that ran out into some villages and killed some people, and now it has made it to the Danube River? Yep. And everybody's really concerned about this.
A vast virus database has been updated.
Well, that's special.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll talk about that too in just a minute. But, you know, that wasn't extraterrestrials that did that. That was humans that did that whole thing with that toxic settling pool.
Right.
You know, 25% of the world's dangerous chemicals are produced in Louisiana. 25%
right,
are produced in Louisiana.
Yeah, I've been there. That's quite a... You can... Right down to Baton Rouge, there's a lot of chemical factories and things.
Yeah. So, you know, is it possible that there's an extraterrestrial civilization that's doing something harmful to the Earth? Anything's possible. But it's a 100% certainty that the dominant species on this planet is doing everything it can to kill the planet.
I thought about, like, if we went back to the days, I have a lot of Amish around where I live.
Mm-hmm.
With the population we have now, going back, let's say, living like they did in the late 1800s, just before the advent of electricity, you know, and things,
mm-hmm.
Would not there be more pollution?
Well, there could be.
Now, because of all the animal, I mean, just it seems like it would be worse than we have it now.
Well, it depends. It would be a different type of pollution. Without the Industrial Revolution, you would not have all of the chemicals that we have and all the gases that we have that we're releasing into the atmosphere. So you wouldn't have that. But you could have enough, you know, with the population that we've got now, you could have enough toxic waste just from our lives and from the lives of our animals, that if you didn't manage that and manage it well, then you could have a biological disaster, all kinds of disease.
Which was, that's kind of what happened, isn't it? Like 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, with all the big cities. Just before the Industrial Revolution came and all the advances in the medical science, look at the plagues and things they were having.
Yeah, but they didn't have to live as filthy as they did. That's the point. Back just a couple hundred years ago, it was in Europe, it was considered really bad health and bad form to take a bath more than twice a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if we know what we know about health and we had to live with the technology of, say, 100 years ago, could we do it? Yes, we could. Would we be inundated by disease? Not necessarily, because we know we don't have to live as filthy as those people were living. Our ancestors right here in this country. Have you ever thought about the fact that a Wild West town was nothing like what we see on Hollywood? The streets in a Wild West town were full of both animal and human waste.
Right.
And they put boards down so they could walk across that. But it was just out in the street. And I don't mean a little bit either. I mean, it was like rivers of it. Well, you don't have to live like that. I lived on an island where there was no electricity where I was living. There was electricity in the capital city, but there was none where I lived. People didn't live filthy like that.
Huh. Well, what'd they do go behind the animals and pick up all the stuff, or?
Well, they kept their yards clean. They didn't put human and animal waste out into the street. Behind the house there would be a fire pit, and that's where they would put the garbage and then burn it. And so, they were very clean people, and even though living in the jungle and no air conditioning, and they were very clean people and have
right.
a very clean civilization. So it's possible to do. Technology by itself is not an advancement.
Right. I just kind of was thinking, I don't know. It just seemed like it kind of all fits together, but you never know quite which group's telling the truth, really. I have a suspicion that, like you, that the global warming is probably a farce, but if not global warming, then definitely still the Earth itself is moving towards something.
Yeah. If you were to stop all industry on this planet, the climate changes would still be happening. Okay, if you stopped all industry, and including cars, don't drive cars, have absolutely no industry whatsoever, the climate changes would still be happening. And, we know that because they're happening on every planet in the solar system. And there, as far as I know, there are no humans on those other planets, so there's no nasty human industry going on. And yet, the climate changes are happening on every planet.
Right.
So
that's what made me think that maybe some of these EMVs are controlling. That's why controlling this cycle, as it were. That's why there's so many of them in front of our sun.
I would, again, this is opinion, but I would conjecture that if they are doing anything at all, it is that they are sort of buffering to keep it from being devastating on us. Look, anything that's that big that can fly up that close to the sun survive has the ability to turn this planet into a wisp of smoke. And they haven't done it. So I don't think that there is anything to fear from them, and I don't think that they have hostile intentions. They easily could have already done it.
Oh, yeah.
So I think, you know, whatever it is they're doing, and I don't fully understand it, but whatever it is they are doing, I think must be something that redounds to our benefit.
Well, let's hope so. But, yeah, that's just a few things I was thinking about. So.
Well, it's a good call and good topics. And it shows you are thinking.
Well, I got a lot of time to think, so I guess that's what I think about. But, you know, I guess until you think things like that, you might not dig and find the answer, I guess.
Well, we're going to survive. Again, this is my opinion. We're going to survive whatever calamities are coming, and we're even going to survive the people we foolishly elect.
Yeah, that's the big challenge, isn't it?
There's not yet been a calamity that Mother Nature can throw at us that our politicians cannot make worse. And we're even going to survive them.
I hope so.
Yeah.
They're a pretty mean bunch.
A strange bunch. Hey, thanks for the call.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye. 623-444-5889. It's BYOT. Bring your own topic. Whatever your topic may be, if it's within our genre, bring your own topic. Well, let's take this call, and then I'll make the comment I was going to make in a moment. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. What's your first name, and where are you calling from?
First name is Jeff. I'm calling from the Great White North in Montreal, Canada. Good evening, Kevin.
All right. Are you willing to hang on through this break?
Yes, I am.
All right. You hang in there, and we'll get you first up when we come back from break, which is going to take over in about 3 seconds. Ladies and gentlemen, BYOT, bring your own topic. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night. And waiting patiently on the telephone is Jeff from Canada. Jeff, what's on your mind?
Good evening, Kevin. Thank you very much for taking the call. I look forward to Halloween night. As you know, Kevin, I have a little bit of a military background, as you may or may not know. So as a trained observer, I have several contacts and sources that I rely on to bring me information, and I'd like to share something with you and your audience to prove a point and get your comment on it afterwards. It'll probably take about 2 seconds to
discuss
this. Well, as you know, the United Nations met this week, wrapped up their meetings at the Royal Institute from October 4th through the 6th. In Europe, in London, to discuss how to deal with extraterrestrials. And as you and your audience knows, in attendance was the Malaysian physicist who was thought to have been picked for the position of first contact go-to person, but that was later denied by the physicist herself, although she was in attendance at this meeting. A source of mine who attended that conference sent me some of the debriefing notes, and I beg of you and your audience to take heed to what I'm about to say, and I really do. Are you ready, Kevin?
I'm ready. I'm seated. I've got my seat belt on. My tray is in the upright position, and I am ready.
Are you ready to pay your alien defense tax in addition to your climate disruption tax?
Why am I not surprised?
Because this climate, and this goes ties in very neatly to your first caller. Thank you very much for that call, too. It was great. The climate disruption tax, because we're having a lot of difficulty selling the global climate change or global warming, all of these words, because the public is not buying into it, they've now switched it to climate disruption.
Mm-hmm.
So that we all are on the same page now. It's no longer called global warming, it's climate disruption. As you know, the climate can change from time to time, so that's good enough for them.
Yeah.
Now, if you are not and want to hold on to your silly Christian belief systems or systems of belief in Buddha or Islam or whatever your religion might be, or you are a devout skeptic and don't believe in little green men or climate change or climate disruption, then the governments of the world have a very special place they call internment camps for you. Now, there aren't a lot of dissenters, and because that's probably a question that my friend brought up. He said that, you know, there won't be a lot of dissenters once martial law is declared, just like there aren't very many atheists in foxholes. Now, disclosure, what's bringing this on is that disclosure efforts by the public have triggered governments to release government UFO documents that they claim are authentic, that they say they've collected for the last 40, 60 years. And this is an attempt to demonstrate a spirit of openness in an environment of otherwise closed, in an otherwise very closed environment, and getting closer and closer. This couldn't be further from their real agenda, according to my source. All of the real cases are still classified and beyond the grasp of any FOIA request, and this is just window dressing and suits the agenda of incremental false disclosure. I want to circle that, incremental false disclosure. The private military-industrial complex has agreed to accelerate this effort, not to release hidden technology, but to solidify their grip on that technology and continue to suppress it, and roll out man-made technology that will be offered as extraterrestrial to convince the public that the ET presence is not in our best interest, and they will admit to and roll out video and audio snippets for public consumption that will admit to abductions and very frightening scenarios and information intended to reinforce that fear on the public. Finally, I'll follow up with a question, but this will be the agenda to launch false flag attacks globally in a simultaneous manner around the world. They will blame it on who? Extraterrestrials. And if aliens attempt to initiate contact outside of their control paradigm that they have now, they will accelerate this program. This will be typical. Are you familiar with the Hegelian dialect concept,
sure.
Evan?
Sure.
Problem, reaction, solution, right?
That's right.
Well, this will be how they will roll it out. And I beg of you, audience, to take heed. Aliens have attacked. The public will panic. That will be the response. Martial law will be declared internationally, not just nationally, and a one-world defense force will be created and rolled out through the United Nations, in addition to an alien defense tax that you will pay, because now everyone will be galvanized, as Ronald Reagan said, to fight this external threat, and martial law, as it's in place, will ban religions. They will be banned. And the United States will trot out a unified Mother Gaia world religion as a solution, because some people will, of course, obviously believe this alien agenda threat is real, and they will point to religion as being useless now, and, of course, they will try and maintain that there's no need for government, but government, because of fear and manipulation, will say that government is needed and an armed forces is needed, and you, if you dissent or disagree, will be considered psychologically unstable,
mm-hmm.
and not a benefit to the world force. Now, I'd like to end this all by saying that was a complete hoax. but it was very compelling, and it was delivered in a very compelling manner. As much as people would like to believe this is the truth, this is something that I wrote in 3 minutes as a preamble to your show. And the reason I did this evening is to demonstrate to people that no matter what you might believe, or no matter what you want to happen, that is not what's going to happen. And
well, I'm glad to hear you say that was a hoax, because I was, when you got to the end of it, I was going to ask you some pointed questions about your source.
Sure. And I could go on and say that I don't want to reveal that source at this juncture because of the confidentiality of the information that he's sharing and the position that he's in. He's in a very high level. How did I get to know this? You know, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody has a very convenient answer for some of these things. And I go back to Stanley Fulham's October 13th prediction that his transcenders, which include Jesus Christ, by the way, have told him that because of the increase of CO2 in our atmosphere, that they will have to intervene, and part of that intervention will be a mass UFO sighting over major metropolitan cities around the world. That's entirely plausible. That's entirely possible. But when Stanley Fulham begins to talk about the CO2 environmental crises, quote-unquote crises, I get suspect, because I don't believe anything at all about global climate change. Since Copenhagen, and since Denmark, and since those papers came out, and that email gate came out, I've just thrown all that stuff out the window. So I'm a little bit suspect about that being our chief problem. You know, why is it, Kevin, that we don't talk about all the depleted uranium and the nuclear waste that this country and the world accumulates? What are we doing with that nuclear waste? Let's talk about real environmental issues.
Well, and you know, and that's the point. That's what I the point I was making earlier with the first caller.
Correct.
Is it possible that extraterrestrials somewhere are doing something that's harmful to Earth? Sure, anything's possible. But one thing we know is absolutely certain is that the dominant species on this planet is doing everything it can to kill the planet.
Let's name names. Let's name names, Kevin. When we say the dominant species is killing the planet,
that's us.
And let's bring our listeners back to, say, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. The aliens were very much, or ET presence was very much documented at that time. They were buzzing our aircraft. They were buzzing our installations. I bet if you could open up the Manhattan Project files, you'd realize they were all over that stuff and all over their facilities. But they never intervened in dropping, and allowed the Americans to drop the bomb on two cities. Please don't tell me that the aliens are now going to step in and prevent us from killing everybody. No. I think that human beings are looking for an outside solution to an internal answer.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. I think most UFO people in this field of the truth movement are looking for external answers that there are internal solutions to. And they're very much terrestrial based.
Oh, I agree with that. And, you know, the thing about it is, as long as the problem is external, then I don't have to take responsibility for having put these people in power that are choking the earth. Jeff, a break's taking over. I got to run. Thanks for the call. Very interesting. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away for that first hour. It's BYOT night. That's Bring Your Own Topic, and we'll talk about whatever is on your mind tonight, as long as it's within our genre. You know, the world is absolutely packed with strange and unexplained phenomena. And that's what we look at. We, not only this world, but our universe is packed with strange and unexplained phenomena. Sometimes it's that phenomena is in the form of what we call UFOs. Sometimes it's in the form of what we call extraterrestrial beings. Sometimes it's in the form of what we refer to as ghosts or spirits or orbs. And sometimes it's in the form of things like vampires, werewolves, chupacabra, living dinosaurs, and so forth. So whatever it is that's on your mind, we'll be happy to turn the mic over to you, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889. Toll free in the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. If you live outside of the USA and you live outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for out there, but I do have something called Flash Messages, and we invite you to use them. You simply go to my website and scroll down. You'll see the picture about tonight's show. Just scroll down to that and look on the right side. You'll see the link that says Flash Message. We have a Flash Message from Ross in the United Kingdom. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong date. There we go. Ross from the United Kingdom. In reply to Rusty's call, I don't think I've seen a photo of a UFO with a tailpipe. Good point. Good point. We don't ever see any sort of exhaust coming out of these UFOs, do we? So, yeah, that's a good point. Let me say, again, for those who are in the United States, and for those who are in Canada, we have telephone lines for you, okay? I'll even pay for the telephone call. Earlier, I was going to make a comment, and I said, let's take this call, and then I'll make this comment. You know, in the same show where I talked about the purple frog, I talked about Mokele. See, what is it called? Mokele Mbembe. Now, this is this creature, Mokele Mbembe, is described by people who say they have seen it, and there are lots and lots of people who say they've seen it in Africa. And in a particular swamp area. And these people describe it all, you know, they're scattered in villages all up and down the river and all around the swamp, and they don't have connection with each other. And they don't communicate with each other. But in all these villages, there are people that say they've seen this thing. And the way they describe it, it would look very much like what we would think of when we think of a brontosaurus. And it would fall into the classification of a sauropod. Now, a sauropod is a dinosaur that stands on four legs. And generally, but not always, are herbivorous. They eat vegetation. When we hear a story like that, and we hear that story in our technological societies, now you're in a technological society, or you wouldn't be listening to this show. You're someplace where you have radio, or you've got a computer, or you've got a cell phone, an iPhone. You're using technology to hear this show, so you're in a technological society. In our technological societies, we hear a story like that, and we tend to think these people are just superstitious, it's not real, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, go back to the purple frog. The people in the area knew all about this purple frog. They knew all about it. And if they told scientists that they had seen it, I'm sure they were getting, right. But it does exist, just like they said. And I'm convinced that those people in Africa are not making up the story. I'm convinced they've seen what they say they've seen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Needy. This is the Purple Frog.
Okay, this is the Purple Frog. And from where are you calling, Purple Frog?
This is Brent from Wyoming.
Hi, Brent. I thought it was.
Kind of recognizable voice.
Yeah.
I appreciate Jeff's call. It's very, very, very interesting call. I'm curious. What would, if the people, if, let's do a poll of your listeners, if they were given the opportunity to travel to an alien civilization on a different planet and observe something, whatever, anything of their choice, and then come back and report to the people of Earth what they found, what would they do?
Well, that's a good question. What would you do?
I tend to go with the spiritual regularities and how people interact with them. By that, what I mean, let me give you an example. The United States was founded as a republic. A republic is based upon what I call the concept of cooperation, which holds that any gathering of two or more souls will be allowed to work both freely and equally together towards a common goal or cause. Now, that's fine by itself. The problem with it is that on the flip side of that coin, and it is a double-sided coin, is something called the right of commandment. What this right says is that each and every one of us has the right to tell people what to do. The reason it exists on the opposite side of the coin is because one cannot exist without the other. By this, I mean that if everyone is sitting around cooperating, nothing would get done, because there would be no direction. On the other hand, if everyone was sitting around giving commandments, no one would be cooperating. So they have to exist together. That's the kind of stuff I'd observe and find out how the people of that civilization acted within the boundaries of what they've discovered. I'd come back and say, "Hey, all right, here's how they operate."
Well, my view of that is that no one has a right to tell other people what to do, period. And that cooperation can get things done whenever people come together and determine together, by vote, what their common goals are. And then prioritize them. You know, this goal got 80% of the vote. This goal got 72% of the vote. So the one that got 80 gets done first. Then we do the 72%er, and you just go down the list. I know of a city that actually did that, and this city grew by leaps and bounds, and the prosperity of the city was phenomenal. It is the largest city in the United States that has no navigable waterway. And it's one of the richest cities in the United States. Without a navigable waterway, it's one of the richest. You want to hazard a guess as to what city that is?
Denver?
No. Dallas.
No.
Dallas, Texas. They did this back in the late 60s. The early 60s. They did this in the early 60s. And they even had school children vote on what they thought were the most important goals. And based on the number of votes for each goal, they prioritized what they were going to do and went after it. So there was no one giving commands. We're living in a society now where we're getting commands from government top down. How's that working out for us?
Not very good. Not very well at all.
So I think it's possible in a republic. I think it is possible in many other types, many other forms of government, to allow the people to set the goals themselves and then go after those goals in order of the priority based on the number of votes each goal got.
Very good. I like that.
And I have seen it done. They did it in Dallas. That sounds like a novel. They did it in Dallas.
I think Debbie did that in Dallas, didn't she?
She did something else. But, no, I think it is possible. And it's not kumbaya. It's already been done.
Yeah.
And, you know, the nation could do it.
Problem's getting the politicians to listen.
Well, we could end that sentence after you said politicians.
Yeah, I know.
The problem is politicians. People have good sense.
That's right.
Brent, thanks for the call.
Yep. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye. Now, just so that you don't think I'm painting with a wide stroke here, are there politicians out there that do have your best interest at heart? Microscopically few, but yes. And are there politicians that actually listen to the voters in their area, the constituents? Microscopically small number of them, but yes, there are. So I don't want to paint every politician with that brush, but there won't be very many that don't get that stripe. And it's a sad thing. But it shows up in every aspect of our lives, and that includes in the field of UFOs. If the politicians were listening to what the people want, the majority of the people in the United States have said in numerous polls, number one, they think UFOs are real. Number two, they think the government is not being truthful with us. And number three, they think they're hiding stuff from us related to UFOs. So if they were really listening to us, if they really were, then we would already have had disclosure. 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. One person has sent me an email, and this email says that they are not able to watch the show because it says we are offline. So if anybody else is listening to the show that tried to watch it and it says it's offline, let me know. Because we are broadcasting the TV show as well as the radio show. 623-444-5889. It is BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic Night. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. And in the absence of you, you'll listen to what I talk about. How's that? This dinosaur that's described by the people in Africa, one particular area in Africa, in our technological snootery, we tend to say, oh, these people are, you know, they're backward, they're primitive, they're, you know. Be careful how you pigeonhole people. If you're in any environment and you are able to survive and prosper in that environment, are you backward? Or are you smart? They're smart. They're smart people. And so when they talk about this dinosaur, as I say, in our technological snootery, we tend to say, it can't be. And yet we find absolute proof almost on a daily basis that we're dead wrong about almost everything that we take that attitude about. Almost daily, we're discovering we took that attitude about this, that, or the other thing, and guess what? Those backward primitives were right, and smart, credentialed techno-snooters were wrong. Well, I can hear this. Well, if that dinosaur really existed, you'd think that by now we'd have some pictures of it. Okay. Now, if that's your attitude, let me ask you, when's the last time you went to Africa with your camera, went into the swamp, and looked for it? You see, not too many people do. And, you know, and then and the native people in that area, they don't say they see it every day. It's not like it's a really frequent occurrence, but they say they have seen it. And in fact, they tell a story of a tribe of pygmies that killed one, and they ate it. The whole village partook of the meat, and they all died. And so the people there think that perhaps this is a sacred creature. And maybe it is. Who's to say? Maybe it is. But just the fact that it of its existence, just that fact alone, is tough for a lot of people in our technological world to accept. Because we think we're so smart, and we think, well, if it exists, surely I would have seen it. Do you know how many folks... Well, let me do a little experiment here. How old are you? Are you above 40 years of age? If you're above 40 years of age, there's a very good chance that you have seen the supersonic transport called Concorde. I used to watch it fly. I lived in Dallas, Texas. That's where I grew up. It flew in and out of Dallas all the time. I used to see it all the time. It's a beautiful, beautiful plane. Probably the most magnificent aircraft that has ever been used for commercial aircraft. Absolutely beautiful. And it would fly faster than the speed of sound, and it would get you from New York to London in very short order. It was a magnificent craft. If you are 30 years of age or under, you've never seen it. Unless you've seen pictures, or you've seen it in a museum, or you've seen some video clips somewhere, you haven't seen it. So, when you hear all of us old cats talk about the supersonic transport, the Concorde, what keeps you from doing the same thing to us and that information that we do, all of us do, to information about a living dinosaur? It's the same kind of thing. You've never seen a living dinosaur. And many of you listening to me have never seen the Concorde, the supersonic transport. It was a French aircraft. Beautiful, beautiful aircraft. Magnificent bird. Many of you have never seen it. You hear me talking about it, and you hear other people maybe sometime talk about it. What keeps you from saying, well, you know, Kevin Smith talking about the supersonic transport, you know, that guy must be drinking left-handed tea somewhere, because he's dreaming. There's no such thing as a supersonic transport. Why? Because you've never seen it. And yet, that's one thing we can prove it existed. Because, number one, millions of people have seen it. Thousands of people have flown aboard that aircraft. Some of the crews that flew the aircraft and staffed the aircraft are still alive and around. There's pictures of it. So we can kind of prove it existed. But you've never seen it. Now, out there in those jungles, those people aren't walking around with 35 millimeter cameras. They have seen something, and when the researchers and scientists go there and ask them questions and ask them to, can you describe it, and they draw in the sand, they all draw the same thing. They draw in the sand instead of using a camera. When the scientists show them photographs of what, you know, we have these artist conceptions of what various types of dinosaurs look like, and they show them photographs, one kind of dinosaur after another, and the people out there say, nope. They get to the one that looks like a brontosaurus, and they say, Mokele Mbembe. That's it. So it's very important, isn't it? Very important for us to sort of haul the reins in just a little bit on how we're thinking. Because reality is far bigger than your wildest dreams. Reality really is far bigger than your wildest dreams. We hear about all these species that are going extinct all the time, right? And they are. Lots of species going extinct. But we also, every year, we also see a list, and usually photographs, of species that have been discovered that we didn't even know existed. So, is it possible that these stories like Chupacabra, like Mokele Mbembe, like Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, like the living pterosaurs? You know what a pterosaur is, a pterodactyl? You know what that is, right? There are natives on a couple of islands that say, yeah, those things exist. We see them. Is it possible that all these things are reality? I submit to you that it is entirely possible that any one of them or all of them could be reality. And I forgot to put Bigfoot in the list. Bigfoot's in the list. It's all possible. And we know it's possible. We know for sure it's possible because of things like the purple frog. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. It's open line. That means it's easier for you to get in tonight than normally because we have more telephone slots open. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free, 888-223-4599. Folks, the point of everything I said before the break, the point is really pretty simple. It is that there are many, many things that the general consensus is that's impossible, that are not only possible but reality. There are many things that are considered to be impossible that are actually reality, and we discover that on a regular basis. As I said, a real good example is that purple frog. been around 100 million years, and we found it in 2003. Of course, the local people that techno snoots consider to be backward and uneducated and all of that, they knew all about it, but we discovered it in 2003. So, you know, lots and lots of stuff that we think is impossible is reality. And some of you have had things happen. You've seen things. You've had experiences that you would think would be impossible. But it happened, and it's very real. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Stefan in Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hi. I was just listening to the phone there, and I caught Jeff from Montreal, and really enjoy his information. And one of the things that I heard near the end was that we're looking for an outside solution to an internal problem. I agree with that, mostly. However, if the phenomenon of abductions and hybrids and walk-ins is a reality, then we would be getting external help, but camouflage from the inside, like we wouldn't know that it's happening. What do you think about that?
With the abductions, you're talking about alien abductions?
Sure.
Like, yeah, okay.
People that might be hybrids or walk-ins or, you mm-hmm. know, that whole...
All right, well, let's talk about the alien abduction thing first. I think it's pretty well documented that that has been going on and probably is still going on. But the question is this. Everybody that talks about these alien abductions, almost all of them talk about it being what we call the grays that are doing it. We have a lot of information now from lots of different sources, a lot of people that have had contact with them over the years, that they think that these grays are biological entities but not sentient beings, that they're more like androids.
Mm-hmm.
So the question, if that's the case, the question is, then who are they working for? Who has them programmed to go out and do the abductions? And the answer to that could be either another alien civilization, or it could be terrestrial forces. It could be our own military or military-industrial complex kind of contractors that are behind the scenes that are causing that to happen. You know, the problem is knowing who is pulling the strings, who's behind it.
I agree.
Yep. Hybrids. I don't have a problem with hybrids, and it is probably because of my position that I think we all are.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think that the evidence shows we are a hybrid. So I don't have much, I don't see much problem with the idea of hybrids. But the alien abduction scenario, that stuff happens, and very often, this is interesting, very often when these grays do the abduction, if the person wakes up during the experience, or if they're conscious of what's going on around them, and they remember it, and some do, they very often see a human, usually in a yep. black uniform.
Well, my experience was in a white room and very lit environment. And sort of like lab worker attire, but yeah, I can see that as well.
But it was a human?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tall blondes, actually. Well, what was being portrayed as tall blondes, it could be anything behind that. It might have been just a mask image.
Well, it could be. But, you know, that statement that you just made points out exactly what I was saying. How can we know who's behind it? If these grays are just sort of programmable androids, then who's programming them? Someone else is doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the point I was trying to make is that with all these UFOs disabling and re-enabling nukes and changing coordinates and tampering with that, there is definite outside interference if these UFOs belong to something that's non-terrestrial. And also, in terms of hybrids, I think the onus is still upon us, you know, to do what we can for the Earth and for civilization and likewise, but... I wouldn't discount the outside help altogether. I think it's there.
There are accounts in history of UFOs interfering, for instance, in warfare. And the one that I think of that comes to mind first is Alexander the Great. Besieging a city, couldn't succeed. And UFO shows up, beam of light comes down, hits the wall, collapses the wall, and Alexander's troops then march into the city and win. Can there be alien intervention? Apparently there has been. Is that intervention going to be benevolent? Well, it was to Alexander.
Wasn't for his enemies.
Yeah, and, you know, and this is why, that example is why I say an alien civilization is going to act in what it perceives to be its best interest. Yeah. And it's not going to look at us as, you know, just one lump, one group. We're a whole bunch of different groups all over this planet. Even if you have a world government, you still, look at China. China has a massive population. And one government, and one set of laws, and yet, all over China, you have different groups that are very distinctively different from other groups in China. And they have their own interests, they have their own culture, their own civilization, under that umbrella. And so even if you had a world government, you would still have that situation worldwide. And I just don't see that the idea that they're just going to come help us. Well, you know, a lot of the problems that people want help with are problems with other people somewhere else on this planet that they created for themselves.
It's true. Well, I didn't want to take away anything from what Jeff was saying, because I do agree with a lot of what he said. I do think that the probable agenda is to put that push towards the climate change taxes into this false flag op. I really do think that's going to happen. I have a bad feeling about it.
Well, they're going to push for this tax. Every nation on earth is going to be pushing for this. Here in this country, they call it cap and trade. I think really it ought to be called song and dance. And I don't buy the idea that carbon emissions, CO2 emissions, are going to suffocate the planet in two or three decades. I just don't buy that. And, maybe I'm wrong. But they cried wolf way too many times, and they got caught. And I don't believe anything they've got to say.
Well, hopefully the press will jump on that and work with the people for a change. Kevin, thanks a lot. Fantastic show and fantastic guests as well, and opinions, and I really enjoy listening to you. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. Maybe it's naive of me to say that I don't buy this story about, you know, the CO2 is going to suffocate us. I don't buy it. I don't even buy a drop of that water. I think it's as much a lie as the climate change hoax was. It's just, you know, it's verse 2 of the same song. In my opinion. It is just an opinion, folks. And you may have another one. You may think I am absolutely out to lunch on that. And maybe I am, but I don't think so. The truth is, these people, this whole climate change, actually it was global warming, and you know, think of the evolution of this. First it was greenhouse gases, then it was global warming, then it was climate change, and all blew up in their face, and then it was all hoax and lies. And you know, that report they issued from the UN has been shown with glaring holes in it because of the lies that were used to support it. And you know, and then now they come around and tell us, well, yeah, but you know, the CO2 is going to suffocate us. We got to put taxes on it. All right, let me ask you something. Taxes are like cameras. They don't do anything except rob you of something. People all over big cities are used to having cameras everywhere now. I mean, you know, you can't pick your nose without being on the camera. Everybody's on the camera. And they tell you, well, we need that because, you know, terrorism. We need that because, you know, high crime. Okay, now you got all those cameras. How's that working out for you? What's the crime rate like? Any cameras stop a crime? No. You think a tax is going to stop CO2? Come on. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Tony from Denver.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Kevin. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
I was wondering what you think about Earth's new ambassador from the United Nations.
Well, you know, first, it's kind of presumptuous, isn't it, for the United Nations to say, we'll speak for the world. You know, it's one of the most inept, inefficient, and corrupt organizations on the planet. But, okay, so they appointed an ambassador. But, you know, Tony, one of the things I've been hearing is that she has turned it down. Now, I don't know if that's true. But I've heard both stories, that she is the ambassador to the extraterrestrials and that she has turned it down. I've heard both stories. What have you heard?
Yeah, I've read different stories where she's denying it. Now, I'd like to make a suggestion that maybe Jerry Will should be our ambassador. Maybe you know, it takes an alien to be an ambassador to aliens.
Tony, hang on through this break. I want to talk to you about that. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on Final Approach, and we have Tony from Denver on the line. Tony, you recommended that we appoint Jerry Wills as the ambassador.
That's right.
Well, when you said that, instantly a picture came to my mind. Did you ever see the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Yes, I have, Kevin.
Do you remember the character that George Carlin played?
Vaguely, yeah. I kind of do.
He's kind of their guide through everything.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
coming back
and,
now. Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wears the long coat, you know, and he shows up and gives them their first guitar and all this stuff, you know.
That was the one with the telephone booth, right?
Where that's it.
Time.
Yeah, that's it. Jerry Wills would be like George Carlin in that movie. Just sort of cool and laid back. Might not be a real bad idea for the ambassador to the extraterrestrials.
Plus, you know, telepathic communication would be a plus. I think he's got some of that in him.
Yeah. Have you ever met Jerry?
Well, just on online.
Uh-huh.
He always answers all my questions whenever I send him any questions. He must get tons of questions from people, and he's always 100% with giving you a response whenever you ask him something.
Well, I'll tell you something. If you ever get the opportunity, if Jerry is ever in your area or within driving distance, and you get the opportunity to go see him and meet him in person, you really ought to do it. He is one of the most unusual individuals you'll ever meet, and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
I'd agree with you there.
Yeah. All right. Well, Tony, I appreciate the call.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Bye-bye. I wonder what Jerry Wills will think about me saying that he could play that part George Carlin played. I have a flash message I want to get to. I want to make sure I get this in before we hit the end of the show. And caller, if you will, just hang on for just a moment. This is from John in the United Kingdom. He says, how is Dick Criswell doing? Is he out of the hospital? And are you doing any shows on Skinwalker's Ranch in any upcoming shows? Dick Criswell is not in the hospital now. He had a foot amputated. He's in a rehabilitation center. I have tried many times to call, and I have not been able to get through to him. A couple of times I got a recording that said he's not in his room, and then I've called his home just to pass a message through his family and have not been successful with that. Skinwalker's Ranch, maybe. We'll see about that. We'll see. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi, Kevin. I just wanted to add this thing. There was a lot of talk about CO2 this evening.
Uh-huh.
There's a site called CO2science.com, and I came across it quite a few years ago. And what I did was I did a search on ice core samples.
Uh-huh.
So it came up, and they had a synopsis, very brief description of their findings. And what they said was they actually found the opposite of what's being promulgated. And that is the ice core samples revealed that warming occurred first, and more generally, then the carbon levels were increased after that.
Yeah.
Which is the opposite of what's being promulgated now. Now, if you think about it, like, let's say the Earth was coming out of an ice age.
Mm-hmm.
And it was warming up. Well, you know, animal life would proliferate, and you would get carbon levels rising as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
It would follow the warming. The warming would have to occur first.
Mm-hmm.
And what really kind of got me was this site's been around for a long time, and it's got a lot of scientific board members and affiliations, that kind of thing. And you never hear about that site, but it's pretty legit.
Well.
And like what I'm going to do now, because of what you were talking about, the suffocation idea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go back, and I may email the main guy there and ask him about that, because it, you know, that sounds kind of bogus again.
Well, it does to me. It sounds bogus, but I want to be sure that everyone understands that's just my opinion. I'm not basing that on anything other than the fact that all those scientists over there that did the global warming fraud, they cried wolf too many times, they lied, they hoaxed, and you know, they don't have anything to say that I'm ever going to buy. And
well,
so here's the problem.
That one.
The problem is, for me, this thing about CO2 rising and we're going to suffocate, it might be 100% correct. It might be. I'm not buying it. I don't think it's true. And I think, you know, I mean, there's always the possibility that it's correct. But I don't think so. And I don't think so based on their track record and based on the fact that isn't it convenient that when global warming blew up in their face and everyone in the world knew they were lying, all of a sudden here comes this new theory and we still need those taxes?
Well, yeah, that makes me pretty suspicious. And what I would say is plants love CO2. That's what they live on. So grow more plants.
Well, that's exactly right. But I'm going to give a personal guarantee right now that I can't back up with anything. But whatever the date is when we're all supposed to suffocate, I guarantee you I'll be doing this show the next day.
Well, I think that's worthy of yet another party.
I think so. Yeah. But, you know, it's just ludicrous. But again, you know, there are folks out there who say, well, Kevin Smith, to me, you're ludicrous. Okay, that's cool. We're still sort of free.
Well, you know, that would include, you know, those of us who call in and kind of agree with you. So you wouldn't be the only one that's ludicrous.
Yeah, I'm in good company. I'm in good company.
Yeah.
Worldwide. John, thanks for the call.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, folks, you know, please understand that when I give you an opinion here on the show, don't take that as gospel. You can take it as gospel that that's my opinion. If I tell you that that's my opinion, then it is. But it's just an opinion. And everybody's got one. You've got one. And it's as valid. Every opinion is a valid opinion. There's no such thing as an invalid opinion. And your opinions are just as valid as mine. And that's what we invite you to express when we have BYOT. We'll talk about whatever's on your mind. We're just about out of time for tonight's show. It's always fun, BYOT, always fun. And we get a lot of interesting calls and we get a lot of interesting topics to talk about. And I hope it's been fun for you too. Now, tomorrow night, I don't normally do this, but it's been a very, very long time since this guest has been with us. And I want you to know about it. Tomorrow night, my guest is Dr. Nick Begich. You probably know him from his books about mind control devices and about HARP. We'll be here, and you be here too. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.